Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And, just right off the top, we want to say a big thank you to Skirmish Play podcast new presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. And, that's our first ad read. We're going to get better at that as we go, but we're really excited. Obviously, I want to thank the listeners as well. You guys have, picked this up, and that's made it a thing. It's something that's attractive that people want to get involved in.
Much appreciated.
So thank you for that, listeners. Thank you for that, C&G Paving. And we'll come back to them a little bit later in this podcast. But let's jump right into it. A really interesting football week. A Friday night that did not go well for a lot of different teams. It just wasn't, but some teams really stood out over this weekend. And I think we probably ought to start with Woodbury Forest with a really impressive win against St. Chris on Saturday.
Yeah, you were out there. You got to see the statement. They really came out and put it on St. Chris. But pretty thick, too.
Yeah, 42-0 right out of the break. It happened quick. I think it was the second play. They hit Jameel Wilson, and he took it up the sideline, and he just was a blur. The Sherwood kid had the quarterback for St. Chris drop the ball right in front of him. They were ready. They were prepared, which is why I need to read it. We picked against Woodbury in the weekly briefing, but we want to quickly apologize on that one. We clearly overstepped. We went a little too far on that one. And also to talk about, while Scott Braswell is a new head coach and he comes from North Carolina and he has a lot of experience, he's been around, he kept this staff largely intact. He kept pretty much everybody, that they had under Clint Alexander. You got Cornell Strother, you've got Keith Johnson. Apologies, by the way, if I butcher any of these names. Abby Ryan, Bill Maddox, David Budlong, Alex Tisch, Cody Capps, Brian Stevenson, and then Braswell as the head coach. And this is a good staff. It's a really good staff. They know what they're doing. There's a reason why that team did as well as it did last year and the year before that and the year before that. All these guys, a lot of these guys and girls have been there.
Yeah, and if you talk to any of the Woodbury kids, any of the great seasons they've had over the years post-game, it's usually the assistant coaches that they're thanking when they say, you ask them about what was working well. And their post-game huddles were always, it was really dapping it up for the work all the assistants did. If you keep that staff together, I guess you're not surprised that the results that they're putting together this early in the season. 2-1, Charlotte Latin, the only loss, and that's week one. But I think what's interesting about Woodbury right now, so they get to their bye week. They have the week off after the St. Chris win, and then they open up with Paul the Sixth 2 weeks later. And then it's collegiate and the prep league run. They have an opportunity to come in with a pretty decent, head of steam. Yeah,
they got a lot of momentum. Brian Stevenson, offensive coordinator this year, and what was really cool was that you know, what they had become so known for was how vertically they attacked last year. They were so aggressive with Lindell Stone at quarterback the last couple of years. And so you thought maybe, hey, Will Weidman comes in. He moved over from defense, I believe. You know, this is a guy who, you know, doesn't have that sort of pedigree that a Lindell Stone does. That guy's good. And they're aggressive with him. He's thrown to a great wide receiver core. Don't get me wrong. Khalid Thomas is special. And DeQuise Carter is really darn good as well. They have a big option at tight end. They haven't used him yet, and I think that he's the guy that maybe comes on a little later. But, you know, same. That's a great wide receiving core. Obviously, they can get open. They know how to take care of business. But the quarterbacks, Weidman, you know, most of the time, and then Ben Locklear stepped in on, like, his first varsity snap through a bomb of a touchdown to Khalid right up the seam. So this is a good group of, you know, pass catchers. But what's really exciting as well is that they've got something in Weidman. He has confidence. They stay aggressive with him. That makes that offense keep clicking again. And Jamil Wilson, man, he's a really quick.
Yeah, he's lightning.
Yeah, and they haven't had to lean on him. He only had seven carries or so in that game. They were just big play after big play after big play.
But he does a lot of stuff in the screen games and everything, too, in that passing offense. He's a sort of like an extra receiver just out of the backfield.
It's Darren Sproles, man. Yeah. That's who he looks like to me. And he just plays really well. Khalid Thomas caught everything in that one. DeQuise Carter, man, has to be the best, looking back to last year, the best third receiver on a high school team that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, just tremendous. And so he steps up into that two slot this year, and he's looked really good so far. He's one of the top three in the area in receiving. So a lot of really good things to like about what Woodbury's doing right now.
Particularly, I think what you have there is a team with a chip on their shoulder. Something to prove, everyone wants to talk about the change at coach, but it's also about all those old guys and that graduated the last 2 years, really.
Yeah.
And I think these guys are out to prove, hey, we're on par with those groups.
Yeah.
And that's always fun to see a high school team like just get mad,
just
go out there,
just turn into some killers, man.
Exactly.
Just get out there and do it. And that's what was interesting too is that they play St. Chris. Obviously Episcopal's the big rival for them, but St. Chris sits there, maybe two or three for them, and they came out really excited, really on fire. Let down in the second half a little bit, but that's because St. Chris is a pretty good football team. We know how good these prep league teams are. We saw what Collegiate was able to do against Western, where mistakes sort of snowballed.
Yep.
But this is the prep league is always good. They're always tough teams, and St. Chris, that's part of why they were able to kind of get it going in that second half. They're just good. It's a good football team. So nothing to really hang your head about for Woodbury right now. And they closed the door late with another Wilson run that was pretty special. We threw that on Instagram, and he tightroped the sideline. Really slick little play. So, a lot to be excited about with Woodbury, especially that offense is really good. Defense for a half was awesome. And if they're able to put two halves together, it's going to be really tough to score on that squad.
Yeah. The other team I thought that made a big statement this week was Monticello. You knew they were good offensively, 2-0, but you look at the opponents that they're playing on. I mean, they're playing down a little bit there, two winless teams at the time. Now they're playing against a Spotswood team that can physically move the ball. They can run it down your throat. They've got a really nice quarterback in Alakai. And the Monticello defense just played absolutely fantastic in that one. I mean, I think we're going to get pretty regular numbers on Monticello's offense. It's going to hover around 500 yards each game, it seems like.
That's a lot of yards.
Yeah, I mean, nobody can stop Kevin Jarrell. Nobody can stop Jarek Ayers.
You said that there was some type of injury on the offensive line that caused an entire shift up there.
New center, new guard. So it took them about a quarter. But in 4 minutes, they threw up 21 points. It just took them no time to get rolling. I was really impressed by that. Doing that on the road. And then even just after the game, I thought what was most impressive is that these kids weren't all jacked up about winning that game. Expectations have set in over there. So I think Monticello is really, really excited to play in these types of games. But winning them is not a surprise for them. That's the expected result. So going forward, Monticello's got Fluvanna to open up. But when they start playing Louisa and Albemarle and Western and all those schools, I mean, you're going to see them really on a different level. That's what I think I saw at Spotswood. It was like Monticello just clicking on a different level, as good as those first 2 weeks were.
Yeah, and I think that when, you know, we knew last year they had the talent, they had kind of the pieces to put it together. But, you know, this is a big step. If they stay healthy, then it's just like with a lot of teams. They stay healthy, they got to feel pretty good about it.
And just the fundamental defense. I mean,
tackling.
That's, Danny Talbert was running gangbusters out there. He had a really nice game. They just did a really good job of reading Spotswood. They run a lot of fakes. I mean, they're a deceptive team, and they're big up front. And I thought Monticello, the way that they've improved, particularly that front seven. I mean, I know 1 year in a gym makes a huge difference. That was a young team. They expected to be, you know, not down last year, but they thought that, okay, we're really going to have to work to get these wins. And this year, they're so much bigger, stronger, and then they have the tools on the edge that they think they should be very good, and they are right now.
No question about it. So, really exciting start for Woodbury, Monticello. I mean, Cheryl, the other thing that has really kind of been surprising is the added dimension. We knew he could run already, but like this is, he leads the area in rushing right now.
21 for 228 and 5 touchdowns this week. He has 10 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
13 touchdowns overall, 13 already. I mean, Sylvaius Foley's putting up big numbers.
Here's the other thing. He doesn't put the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
He doesn't fumble and he doesn't throw picks.
I mean, it's tough to defend against a kid like that. It's tough to kind of stop it. Keep that rolling.
I mean, the passing game was a big part of that first half in particular. And this play that he and Jarek Ayers made, sort of a play breaking down and Ayers slips out of the backfield and takes a screen pass. And, you know, Gerald had to really fit it into a tight spot. It's kind of low. Ayers picks it up and then just improvises this 62-yard run that was just, I mean, it was amazing the way he's making people miss left and right. So those two, the way they work off each other, the passing game wasn't the focus for Monticello because once they figured out Spotswood couldn't stop Ayers and Gerald, why go away from it?
Absolutely.
But still, 6 for 11, 151 and a touchdown. You'll take those numbers out of a high school quarterback every day of the week.
It's crazy the amount of total yardage that kid is piling up right now. Great start for them this year. Another team that, you know, didn't have a great start so far as far as the win column goes, gets in the win column with a really nice win, a come-from-behind win with Buckingham County.
Yeah, Buckingham, they've been in some tight ones. You know, they played Chatham. They had to play Appomattox to start their year. I mean, their schedule's front-loaded. They've got Goochland coming up. So I think if you're Buckingham, you're really looking forward to the second half of the season. But, yeah, beating Central Lunenburg, that's a big one, especially when they're down 21-7 mid-third. Comeback win 26-21. You know, it's at home in front of that crowd. They've been sort of craving one of those. And Buckingham had been playing on like Thursdays and Saturdays.
It's like a 10 a.m. game with Amelia.
They get a Friday night win under the lights, and I'm sure that was a big one for everybody down there. And I think getting off the schneid is always a big thing. We'll see. We're waiting for Monroe and Madison for it to happen for them. But it's good to see Buckingham. We have another week where a team gets their first win and can sort of move forward from that.
Yeah, and the other one that's obviously exciting to see, two games that we probably still ought to talk about. Fluvanna County gets a win against Madison. Stab gets a win in eight-man ball in their first eight-man game that, from what I could tell, took approximately 32 hours to play. Just a crazy amount of yards, crazy amount of scoring that went on in that one. But they now have some experience at the eight-man game as they play a couple more of those later in this year. It's going to be interesting to see how they adjust and kind of figure things out with less linemen, less things happening up there. But Fluvanna County, man, getting a win against Madison, two wins for them. Obvious that they're taking some steps in the right direction down there.
Yeah, and that's what you wanted to see from Fluvanna and Nelson in particular this year. And we're seeing that. They're getting out in front of a 2-1 record. That's great.
Yeah.
And now you got to take the steps forward from there. Beating Madison, they hadn't played them in quite some time. I think 2010 was the last time they played.
Like that, yeah.
And Madison has had their number forever.
Yeah.
So I know it means a lot. You know, that's not a traditional rivalry game. But when the kids see the history stats on that, I know it means a lot for them. So congratulations to Fluvanna.
No question. So let's jump into the awards segment here, and let's start with. We're coming back to C&G Paving, the C&G Paving Road Grader of the Week. That's going to be an offensive or defensive lineman that really kind of made some big-time plays and it kind of opened things up. And we just talked about Buckingham County and what a big performance they had. Bryson Newby up front, man. He's a big reason why they're able to get it done.
He does it on both sides of the ball for them. He's the senior leader. He's the carryover from those Buckingham teams that were really good 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He's a four-year starter, been there forever, and he's just the veteran leader, traditional road grader. You can't put an emphasis enough on how much he means to that team. And I think now that they've got one in the win column, you're going to see some of the younger kids step up on that line and really sort of lead by example. Shout out to Buckingham's offensive and defensive line, particularly holding Central to 21 in the mid-third and keeping that way for a quarter and a half, playing defense late there.
Newby's super fun because he's a great rebounder when it comes to basketball season.
He's a big boy.
Good feet, really kind of moves around well. He moves well for a big guy. But really, awesome to see them get that win and to see Newby, he's a guy who sticks with the program. He's been there for a while, and it's good to see him get a win. Mm-hmm. Defensive guys that really stepped up this week. Another one from we talked about Monticello. They're tackling more soundly. They're doing things the right way. They also got a big play on defense.
Yeah, Jacoby Jackson with an interception in a sort of key point in that game where Spotswood in the second quarter is trying to drive back and make things interesting. And it's 14-0 at that point. Jackson comes up with the pick. And then a couple seconds later, it's 21-0. It was really just a four-minute stretch. The Monticello special teams comes up with a fumble. They score a touchdown there. Jackson gets the interception. Then they score a touchdown after that. I mean, that was just a big swell of momentum. And if Spotswood had made it 14-7 there instead of Monticello going up 21-0, I think we have a different ball game.
No question about it. Another one who came up with had a big pick in this one, Prophet Harris from Fluvanna. That guy's really emerging as a playmaker for them. He on both sides of the ball. He's had big roles in both their wins. To have a pick there, Prophet Harris, another big time defensive performance this week. So that takes us to the offense, the skill position guys over there on offense, and I think that I got to see it on Saturday. We talked about him already. Will Weidman for Woodbury with a huge performance this week. Obviously, Gerald, tremendous. We talked about him last week in this spot.
It'd be a weekly award for him.
Yeah, Gerald's emerging as that guy this year, like Jaquan Anderson was last year, maybe this year. Jaquan Anderson, by the way, before we jump into Weidman, had a huge week down there at Patrick Henry. Contributed in like every phase of the game, in every different way. He threw, he ran, he caught, he returned. I mean, he's all over the place. We knew they were going to use him as sort of a slash type, and that seems to be coming to fruition right now. But Weidman, 13-17, super efficient, attacked vertically down the field. It pays to be aggressive when you're in high school football. Playing close to the vest usually gets you into a little bit of trouble. Playing aggressive, getting after it like Weidman did. He showed a lot of confidence in his receivers. His coaching staff showed a lot of confidence in him. 13-17, 316 yards, 4 touchdowns. Crazy performance for Weidman. Just a really great step in the right direction for Woodbury.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a kid that was playing free safety last year. He didn't get any snaps under center.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a huge improvement for him from week one to where he was Saturday. I mean, kudos to him.
So as we kind of – that wraps up the last week. Now we kind of look ahead at, a pretty busy week as we jump into Jefferson District play. And it starts, a big one. I think that a lot of people circled on the schedule before the year, Louisa Almar. And it's two teams that are kind of in different places right now.
Yeah, obviously Louisa's undefeated. This is where they were last year coming into this game. Albemarle was a 2-1 team last year. They're 1-2 this year. And the way that they lost that last one was – Patrick Henry, I think it sort of forces them to be a little bit more urgent in this game. This win would mean so much more, to get them back to 2-2 and then have the hardest part of their schedule out of the way. I mean, because they really went out of their way to play quality teams out of the JD play. Louisa coming off the bye, let's see if they can reconnect, sort of get back to what they were doing, which was just running gangbusters all over everybody.
No question about it. It's going to be really fun to see what they're able to put
together
out there.
That's going to be a physical football game.
Yeah, look out for it. And like we talked about, you know, during the skill position segment, Jaquan Anderson has been used all over the field. Louisa, they're very inventive when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they're able to put together to try and figure out ways to stop him. I've seen them stop really dynamic athletic kids, not let that guy beat them before. It'll be interesting to see if they are able to kind of figure that out. But there are other pieces on that Almore offense that can get going, just haven't maybe quite yet. But they've got a lot more potential, you know, and I think you've got to measure them against the curve right now. They've played really tough teams.
Yeah, I mean, the secret last year was, you know, Almore got off to such a tough start, big turnover there early in the game, and Louisa just went way ahead. The second half, Almore played Louisa tight on both sides of the ball. So they need to tap into that to keep this where they want it. If you're Louisa, you're just looking to do what you do. I mean, control that clock. The other team can't score if they don't have the ball.
Louisa is definitely one of those teams that doesn't change who they are week to week.
And from week one, you could see, like, this team has their identity figured out. They know exactly what they are.
They do. And another team that has their identity figured out, Charlottesville, goes in for a tough road test. A contrast in styles here. A team that wants to whip it around and throw it to a whole bunch of wide receivers in orange, and a team that really knows exactly what it wants to do within the triple option. They've had a week to get healthy. You know, probably that's helped them some. They got Sam Neill. They've got Savias Foley. They got Trey Durrett. You know what they're going to bring when they're coming, you know, coming downhill.
A pair of 2-1 teams. And it's sort of Charlottesville's played next to Almore, probably, I think, the toughest out of JD schedule. Mm-hmm. And they did a good job coming out on the right side of that. Orange, we've seen a little bit of everything from them. Yeah. I mean, Eastern View's amazing. So you look at that score, and that's okay. That can happen. But, yeah, Culpeper and Spotsylvania, I mean, do we know yet how good those teams are? So that's where this game really sort of matters. I mean, we're going to find out just how much Orange can push these other JD teams around with the skill position guys that they have on the edge and a very good quarterback in Kenyon Carter.
No question about it. So nice sort of clash of styles there. And then you go up to a huge rivalry game, always fun to watch, and two teams that are starving for a win when Madison and William Monroe lock up on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, Monroe, the way they've lost the last two have just been sort of heartbreaking. You figure that they're going to get this one. Madison, obviously a lot. They played well early against Fluvanna, and it just sort of slipped away with them. I don't know if you could quantify which of these teams needs the win more. all I know is that these two programs, basketball and football, when they get together, these games are always very emotional. And I think sort of getting that first win is going to make that even more interesting or more intense. That fourth quarter is going to be real strange.
There's definitely going to be an edge up there in Madison Monroe. So three games to really watch. Other games, Western versus Powhatan. That's a big game. Western, you know, really looking to get back on track. You know, it's hard to tell what team Western is, whether it's the team that almost beat Lord Bonnetot or it's the team that kind of was flat against Collegiate.
And Powhatan sort of notorious for being the wild card in all of this. You know, they don't play in any of the teams that the JD teams play. There's no transitive properties that you can do with them. So week four, it's always, okay, let's see what Powhatan looks like.
Yeah. And how about a 2-1 Fluvanna team coming into Monticello? Fluvanna with a lot to prove. You know, can they build on what they've done? Can they come in? That's obviously a tall task the way that Monticello is playing right now, but that game's big. And then on Saturday, big private school battle, Covenant versus Blue Ridge. That one's a monster for both those squads.
Yeah, Covenant unbeaten. They've really come out and made a great statement early in the season. And then Blue Ridge playing a very good Flint Hill team. Can they bounce back from that? This one means a lot for these two programs.
No question. So big moving week. We're going to learn a lot about teams this week. We're going to learn who's headed in the right direction, who's got things to still figure out. But huge week coming up. So definitely come back with us next week. Follow along on Friday, twitter.com/skirmishplay. You definitely want to keep up with your scores there. And then we'll have a ton of coverage coming on the website. So thanks a ton for listening. We really appreciate it. And another thank you to our new sponsor, CNG Paving. Just awesome to have them on board. So really appreciate it. And you know, hope that you guys will come back next week.